Today's scripture is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. For while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Physical fitness is important for a healthy and vibrant life. As much as it's possible for a person to do this, depending on their abilities and their access, of course, it's never a bad thing to commit yourself to training the body and growing in strength and fitness. Obviously, it can lead to results that make our lives better, longer living, more energy, even improved moods and decreased symptoms of depression and anxiety and stress. In so many ways, physical training has incredible value, and partaking in this type of activity can be a great way to improve our physical lives. But in this scripture, the Apostle Paul talks about a different type of training, a type of training that brings about benefits that are spiritual and eternal, not just bodily and physical. He says that godliness is valuable in every way, not just in the benefit it brings to the body, but in the long-term benefit it brings to a person's soul and to their interaction with God. What does he mean here, though? What's the discipline for the purpose of godliness that Paul is highlighting in this verse? You see, in Paul's day, Greek and Roman cultures had a heavy emphasis on physical fitness. Think gladiators in the arena, engaging in combat or certain activities and games and showing off their physical strength. These individuals undoubtedly trained hard for these things. There was considerable effort given to improving their physical fitness through constant and rigorous bodily training. And for them, the hoped-for outcome was some type of victory, a prize, bragging rights, being regarded as a victor or a champion. This was a normal part of the culture in those days, and something that many people aspired to. But here in 1 Timothy, Paul's telling his protege to consider a different type of training, one that would require the same level of effort and focus and devotion and consistency, training for godly living. In the same way that gladiators spent time and energy training themselves for games and combat, believers were being called to commit themselves to the work of living godly, becoming more like Christ in character and in action, becoming disciplined in the sense of being able to turn away from fleshly lusts and pursue righteousness. As simple as it sounds, it isn't easy. Many followers of Jesus know all too well what it's like to struggle with sin and temptation, to wrestle with the flesh and the sin nature within us. The tendency to drift back towards things like pride and lust and envy and anger and worldliness. It really can be a battle sometimes. Paul knew this, and this is why he encouraged Timothy in this way. It wouldn't be something that a person could casually commit to, this life of following Jesus. It would require effort, energy, devotion, consistency, growth. It would be like engaging in physical training, something that would be hard and taxing and sometimes downright exhausting, but ultimately something that would be so incredibly rewarding. So what does this even look like? What might be involved in training for the purpose of godliness? Here are three things that might be involved in this process that, when put together, could lead to this godly living with great rewards that Paul and the rest of Scripture call us to. Number one, studying the Word. This means not just casually reading Scripture, but engaging with the Word in a way that leads to growth in wisdom and understanding. Paul said this about the impact of the Scriptures on a believer's life. In 2 Timothy 3:16, he wrote, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." For it to be profitable, though, it must be accessed. The Word is available to us in a plethora of ways today. If we'll dive into it, seeking to develop a greater understanding of it, will reap the benefits when it comes to knowing how to live it out. The second thing in this process of training for godly living is denying the flesh and committing yourself to a godly lifestyle. In another place in Scripture, Paul tells Timothy to flee youthful lusts. In Titus chapter 2, verse 12 says that we should be denying ungodliness and worldly lusts and should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Lastly, the Apostle John says that we shouldn't love the world or the things that are in the world, but that our love should be devoted to the Father. This is what godly living requires of us, denying our flesh, sin and temptation, ourselves, and committing ourselves to growing in holiness and righteousness instead. Jesus said that to be his disciples, we must deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. This is going to mean that through the Holy Spirit, desires and passions and habits and tendencies are going to die. We have to be willing to give things up for the purpose of being the people God has called us to be. Number three, constant prayer and devotion to God. The biggest piece in this training for godliness lies in our communion with the Father. The relationship we have with God is the most important part about us. If we aren't spiritually connected with a sincere love for Him and devotion to Him, nothing is going to really change. This involves prayer, worship, obedience, and an overall growth in affection for the Lord. Thomas Chalmers, a Puritan minister and theologian, once discussed what he called the expulsive power of a new affection. And what he taught was that when our old desires for sin and worldly pleasures are replaced by an even stronger affection for God, things begin to change. And he said, we can't truly change unless that love and affection for God is allowed to take root and grow within us. Simply trying to cease from our sinful tendencies isn't effective. Behavior modification alone is not sustainable or long-lasting. What needs to change first is what's in our hearts. Do we truly love God? Do we have a worshipful relationship with Him? Are we remaining connected to Him? Do we talk to Him and abide in Him and find our joy in Him and relish those moments of communion with Him? These are the foundational pieces of a walk towards godliness. When all is said and done, this calling of ours is simple. Hate sin, love God. Be holy as He is holy. Let the Holy Spirit work within you to conform you to the image of Jesus. It's simple, but by no means is it easy. This is where we need the grace and strength of God. To sum it up, Paul says this in Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Through the Spirit, not through just our own effort and strength. Thank God we have a Holy Spirit within us that empowers us to live the way He calls us to live.